Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Endpoint Enigma. I'm your host, Hank Schless, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Sundaram Lakshmanan, our Chief Technology Officer of SASE Products. Sundaram, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Hank, for having me on your show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. So, Sundaram, I'm particularly excited about today's episode because we're going to dive into something that I think is actually pretty familiar to most people in the security world, which is virtual private networks or VPNs. And you know, they've been around for a long time, and they've also been a pretty frequent topic of discussion, especially as security teams and organizations as a whole have been figuring out what their security posture is going to look like during the current transitional period of moving from remote work into a more permanent hybrid work model, which honestly isn't too surprising. So, you know, with that being said, and as we'll discuss, there are definitely some fundamental ways that relying on VPN could be a little bit difficult for teams, kind of depending on what they decide to do. But before we get into all that, personally, I think of VPN as kind of an older technology. I think of 10, 15 years ago, using an RSA token to log into a VPN to remote desktop in and do that whole thing. Could you give us a little bit about how it all started?
Definitely. It's a very interesting technology. If you really go back, it started almost like two decades ago. You could time it almost with the advent of laptops, and people were given these laptops. This is a very good productivity tool. People took the laptop home and they wanted to stay connected. And that's when these VPNs became very popular. VPNs had actually two big use cases, right? One is connecting the remote users to your office and office applications, and also connect your remote branch offices over the public internet. Because Hank, one thing you need to remember, this was the time when frame relay, MPLS, ATM, you know, these were all popular WAN technologies, and they were pretty costly to get these leased lines. And internet was exploding. People started experimenting. Hey, can I move some of the unwanted traffic over to the internet from branch to my headquarters? And that's where, you know, the site-to-site VPNs came into being. And since then, I have to say, until recently, VPNs have really boosted the employee productivity. I mean, you know that, I know that we are connected all the time, in a be it to office email, to all to office applications. So definitely, they're old technology. They're still good, still relevant to major productivity boosts, I would say, Hank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's still a place for them for sure. But one thing that's sort of interesting is that it doesn't sound like it's really changed that much. I mean, obviously, you know, there are some kind of nuances to that, but it seems like it's just advanced a lot more slowly than other security technology has, especially for something that's been around for so long. Why do you think that is?
Actually, I want to kind of give a slightly different spin, if I may, right? It's not that they have not changed. They definitely have changed. It's like, you know, the comparison I would give is, you know, in the automobile, you take a gas engine versus these hybrids and these more and more, you know, electric vehicles, right? These are completely different technologies. And VPNs were built for the problem two decades ago, and they kept on argumenting, right? Like going from V2 to V4 to V8 and supercharged turbo engines. VPNs definitely kept up, like, you know, site-to-site VPN, added NAC, the network access control points, you know, extended the authentication mechanism. They kept on enhancing for the problem for last decade. What changed was the problem itself, digital transformation. Everything started going to cloud, right? And VPNs were built for when 5%, 10% of your workforce wanted to work remotely, or maybe 20, 30%. But now, just Hank, you and I know how much, you know, of all of our conversations, how much we hear about remote working in the last 1 year. This has exploded. So VPNs, kind of, they solved the problem for the last decade. But for this decade, of course, the problem has changed. So in that sense, they are not there, right? And that's why they appear so suddenly so old, even though last year people have invested heavily again, you know, to enable all the remote workforce.
So basically what it sounds like is you're telling me that we need to get Elon Musk on this podcast to talk about how the parallels between, you know, electric vehicles and VPN technology. So we'll work on that. Okay, so you talk about digital transformation, everything being in the cloud. From an access perspective, like, I just think about when it used to be, you know, you log into the VPN and you have access to everything. It seems like now there are so many different apps and platforms that we use that I would think that you'd want to be able to kind of control that access a little more. Is that the case, or you think people are still okay with that all or nothing approach as long as it means people can get their work done?
If I were an IT admin, right, even though I want a very granular access, the current set of capabilities that's available is what it is, which is VPN. And that's why, you know, I had to jump on it on day one. But situations have changed as we come across in multiple conversations. Take a scenario here where in this day and age, people use any device they can get hold of to access any application, enterprise applications, right? For example, I jump on my spouse's laptop or my family computer and I access my Office 65 emails. I access, let's say, my Salesforce accounts, my Box account, my G Drive account. These all have very sensitive data, right? At the same time, you know what, on the same machine, my kids are playing games and we go to all these internet sites, check out whatever banking, financial, healthcare, news. And just imagine this laptops or devices, how much they are exposed to this internet in this day and age. This is where the situation has changed with remote working, when people bring a lot of these personal devices. And also on the other hand, you have to see, it doesn't matter. Like even if enterprises issue their devices, people use those devices for their personal work as well. So there's no clear black and white boundary here. And because these devices are unmonitored for most of their time, there's a high chance here that these devices could be compromised. And this is where, Hank, the situation has changed drastically, at least in the last year or so, where when you give a full network access, what happens is people may still be, you know, using the applications as intended, which is like connect to the VPN and then access the application as they always plan to. But these malwares that are acting underneath, under the hood, right? They can now jump laterally into the network, right? And this is the biggest gap that has been exposed in the last few years. And that's where people are suddenly waking up and saying, oh, we brought old technology like a VPN that was built for the last decade into this new world of digitally transformed remote working environments. And this is what is untenable. So definitely there is a lot of emphasis on the access, Hank, as you said.
Okay, there are a couple things I want to touch on there. The first is, can you just in a quick couple sentences, just explain what you mean by lateral movement?
Yes. So let's say my machine is infected, okay? And here I'm opening and connecting the VPN and I'm connecting my HR app, right? I'm kind of going through my on-prem HR app or on-prem ERP app. Guess what the malware does at the end? Malware underneath the hood, because now I have a new VPN, it just scans all the machines on the network, right? And then finds the most vulnerable machines. It could be somebody else's laptop because the VPNs do allow that. Or it could be some machines or servers running in the data center, or it could be another application. And then they easily hijack, they go infect those machines, then the infection spreads. That's kind of the lateral movement that we are talking about. And at the application level also, this could happen. Like Word document that you're working on or a PDF or something can get injected, and then that document gets uploaded into your internal applications and somebody else clicks.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And then we're talking about how this malware can move laterally. It seems like, you know, access is definitely a thing. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of access these days is just the philosophy and the principle of zero trust. Obviously, in the last couple of years, that's really come up in the analyst community and then throughout other technologies and all that. But without talking about like the specific zero trust technologies, but as a philosophy, how does that play into the way that VPN has evolved at the same time?
That's a very good question. It's a little loaded too. VPNs definitely did a bunch of things related to zero trust. They always pinned their access based on identity. For example, the VPNs do support single sign-on. They used to support radius-based authentication. They used to support enterprise-based authentication. That was one part. And then the next part was VPNs also introduced some kind of a network access control, NAC, they used to call it, which is check the device posture before letting you in. But Hank, one thing to remember, these things were done one time, just when you access. Right? If I were a hacker, if I were a malware developer, that's all I need to look for. Okay, so at that time of access, if I can stay under the hood, there's nothing that gets exposed, right? But the situation has changed, as we talked about. Just coming back to my analogy, gas engine versus electric vehicle, right? Like this is day and night, very different. Now we are talking about applications getting accessed all the time from any device. Now, first and foremost, with so much hacking and so much credential theft happening, you have to start by assuming that a lot of credentials, there is a high chance that they could be compromised through phishing or something. That's always the entry point. So there needs to be a continuous authentication. There needs to be a continuous verification. That's where the zero trust starts. Okay, I trust, but I am going to verify every activity, not just only at the time of access. That's about the user, even though you presented valid credentials. Then about the device itself. Again, you cannot assume that the device that connected stayed that way. The posture changed so drastically. So again, the device trust also has to be continuously evolved. And then narrow down the access. So this is where the VPNs could not keep up with the game. And that is where VPNs have to be left where they belong. And when you go into the newer world, start thinking new and start rethinking how to address all these problems.
Got it. I like the way that you kind of reposition that. I think that makes a lot more sense. So I do want to get more into zero trust in a little bit. But before we do that, one thing that I always think about with VPN, and again, more traditional, is the user experience of it. Because if I'm remembering correctly, you know, there's a lot of like hairpinning traffic. And let's say you're working out in the field for an oil and gas company or something like that, and you're out in some oil field in the middle of Texas, and you have to connect to a VPN to do something from the Panasonic Toughbooks or like a tablet. It has to go all the way back to the base of the host infrastructure and then all the way back to you. Is that still true? And are there any kind of user experience shortfalls that you can think of when it comes to VPN?
Absolutely. I mean, just from my personal past experience, right? VPN based access always had its user experience challenges for many reasons. You'll never know what's slowing you down. Like even when you used to connect back to your headquarters or data centers, and people started overloading it for a full tunnel internet access as well. But guess what? Now in this decade, or at least in the last few years, cloud and VPN are oxymorons. You don't use them together. But people, because they wanted to have some kind of access control even to cloud applications, they started hairpinning, as you said. I mean, Office 65 is everywhere. Why would I put my users to come through a VPN to access this cloud service? Internet is everywhere. Why would I put a user to come on a VPN into my data center to access the internet? Just because I couldn't offer them enough security, enough checks, enough content inspection, just to bring that back, VPN was the one technology that allowed to hairpin or tromboning, whatever the case may be. And this leaves a lot to be desired here. Latency for one, user experience. Really, when it comes to web applications, if the page don't load it, you are not going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. And we see a lot. And the downloads are going to take longer. Accesses are going to take smaller, and it kind of puts a speed bump into your day-to-day work. And VPNs, you know, help productivity, but now they are kind of taking you on the other path.
It's funny. I actually never really thought about that way, that like it's almost contradictory to itself to talk about cloud and VPN in the same breath. Now, in preparing for our conversation today, I was doing some research on any incidents we'd seen in the past regarding VPN, and obviously there's a fair amount of it, but in terms of like a provider, honestly, that I think we're all pretty familiar with in PulseSecure, because they've been around for a while. I think they had some vulnerabilities earlier this year that I saw maybe from a couple months ago. Is there anything you can offer in regards to that?
Actually, it has happened multiple times, and to be honest and transparent, it's not just Pulse. It's like many other VPNs, including Cisco AnyConnect has been in the news, right? And there have been multiple other VPNs that have been in the news. And, you know, having done product development for the last 2.5 decades, I have to be honest, there is no perfect product. It's all software. And even ASICs have had, I mean, even Intel has had security bugs in their CPUs. So to be honest, there's nothing like a perfect product. But one thing I would like to say, the architectures have to evolve. So at least the damages can be limited. Just as an example, VPN is giving you full access to the network. So what it means is if a VPN is compromised, my entire application network is compromised. On the other hand, for example, we are going to be talking about the ZTNA or the next evolution, which gives you only granular access to a particular set of applications that the user is authorized to. Just that architectural shift will keep enhancing the security as we go, right? Hank, as you know, there's no defense in depth anymore. I'll give you a parallel, but there's no defense in depth. Like, you know, you have a firewall, you have IDS IPS, you have a secure web gateway, you have all these, you know, technologies before you access application. That's gone. Now, cloud service is one URL. You type it on a browser, you are there already. So now where is the defense in depth? We have to rethink now. We should not be bringing the old technologies to solve new problems. We have to rethink. because these are new architectural paradigms. And that's where I would advise or guide my customers and my people that I talk to, because the bugs are going to be there and I'm not surprised by that.
I completely agree with you. There is definitely no perfect product. And, you know, especially being in the security world, for anyone to say that they have a perfect security product, I think everybody would shoot that down pretty darn quick. But one thing you did mention there super briefly that I want to dive into is Zero Trust Network Access, or ZTNA. So could you tell us a little bit more about that and where that fits into this whole ecosystem that we've been talking about?
Oh, nice. And now we'll definitely do that. So now, as we already talked about, in the case of VPN, we put a lot of trust on the user's identity, put a lot of trust on the device. I mean, even though there was some simple checks, right? And then gave them carte blanche access to the network. With Zero Trust Network Access, what's happening is there are a few continuous principles that need to be applied. One is, first and foremost, limit the access. If the user wants to access your HR app, why does he need a network access which might also allow him to access, let's say, a ERP access in the same connection? Why? That's the first question. So in that sense, limit, first thing. Second, continuously assess. It's not like I do a one check. Just as we all go to concerts, we all go to different engagements and conference, there is always a bad check at the front gate, identity check, verification. But that doesn't mean that you go inside and do whatever you want. Like, there will be some more policing, some more eyes watching what's happening, just to regulate the crowd. Exactly the same principles. You trust a lot of people, you let them come in, but you verify at every activity. When somebody is downloading a very sensitive content on your HR app or a ERP app or a CRM app, just check one more time. Why is he downloading? Is that a right thing? And if he's coming from an unmanaged device, can we challenge him to provide additional credentials like a step-up authentication? Or check the device posture and continuously monitor if the device's apps and, you know what, if somebody is suddenly downloading a malicious app during the middle of a VPN, unbeknownst to them, that's unacceptable. That's where the Zero Trust principles are taking us. And network access is getting redefined in this new world of digitally transformed enterprises with cloud applications. And these applications running in private data centers, AWS, Azure, GCP, public cloud, right? You just cannot put boxes there. But instead, give connectivity only to those applications. And that's where the Zero Trust Network is taking us.
Yeah, I mean, I think personally, the most interesting and important part of that is the continuous part. Secondary, I would say, would be the ability to make sure that even from an unmanaged device, it can still have those same protections. Because, I mean, like you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you know, we all use all sorts of devices all the time. We just expect to be able to be productive from them, no matter what it is. And even if your company says, you know, here's an issued laptop or an issued phone, it's only for work purposes, you will inevitably check your Facebook, you know, whatever it may be, check a couple of things. And, you know, we could go down a whole path of what could happen from there. But yeah, there is inevitably a little bit of crossover, no matter what the deployment model is. So I guess my last question for you would be, what can organizations really do at this point? I mean, it sounds like there's definitely a place for ZTNA, for Zero Trust Network Access. And then finally, do people move completely away from VPNs? Do they kind of have a hybrid approach to it? What's the way that companies can approach that? And what's the balance, if any? And basically, what's their direction from here?
That's a very good question. So there is nothing that we could do to shift the balance overnight. But if we work through methodically, first and foremost, where the enterprises need to focus on is, do not bring old technologies and old solutions when you rethink the architecture, just like, for example, digital transformation, right? When you are moving, let's say, your applications that were running in your data center to a public cloud like AWS or Azure or GCP for that matter, right? Do not try to stitch it with old solutions like a VPN for access, or try to bring other gateway solutions or all these things in a virtual form or whatever form. Because the problem has actually changed. And that's where initially it will always be kind of a transition period and a hybrid deployment. The ZTNAs can help move these applications smoothly, keeping and giving a very good user experience, meaning this is still users directly accessing cloud rather than through hairpinning for that matter. And the second thing is, there are newer problems to address in this scenario, like what we talked about, people accessing from any device and malwares and zero trust, where we need to continuously enforce. And that's where the VPNs are not going to be helping you, because VPNs are networking devices. In fact, I used to be shot down earlier, even a decade ago, if I say VPN is a security device. It is a networking device at the end of the day. It just gives you confidentiality and certain level of security. They just were giving you connectivity. So treat it as is. Do not bring the old solution. Start new, start hybrid first. And then there is an inflection point when things become truly hybrid, like application infrastructures become truly hybrid and the types of applications also keep changing. There will be a period. VPNs have already crossed their shelf life, and there will be a time very soon where nobody will be talking about VPN, just like we don't talk about frame relay or anymore, right? It'll be a time like that. And now it's time for ZTNA in the next decade, right? And ZTNA is only going to keep improving from here on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's time for VPN to retire, take its well-deserved time, and go hang out on the beach for a little while. Enjoy all the hard work it's done.
I go back to my analogy. I mean, gas engines say, you know, they have been firing our auto for the last 100 years. Now the EVs are here. Of course, EVs are not replacing, and they won't replace entirely, but eventually, right? It's cleaner, simpler, faster, better.
That's a great metaphor for it and very relevant. So Sundaram, I think that is all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Hank. It's always good to join you. And thanks for a very nice conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure. And thank you everyone for listening in today. You can always find Endpoint Enigma anywhere you find your podcasts. And be sure to check us out on LinkedIn and Twitter at Lookout. We're always trying to offer more thought leadership information, help people understand the evolving security landscape. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.